Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Robert Hannon. Two research missions are scheduled for this month at NASA's Poker Flat Rocket Launch Facility. The University of Alaska Fairbanks owns the facility northeast of Fairbanks. KUAC's Dan Bross has more on this winter's scientific campaigns.
Poker Flat research typically involves firing rockets into the upper atmosphere to study the aurora. But University of Alaska Fairbanks Poker Flat Chief Scientist Richard Collins says the objectives are different this year.
The two launches that were picked through competition at NASA and peer review are non-auroral focused launches.
Collins is co-principal investigator on one of the two projects called Super Soaker.
In the Super Soaker launch, we intend to release about 200 kilograms of water at about 50 miles high in the atmosphere, see if it actually forms a cloud, and also see how that water release and cloud formation impact the temperature, energy, and chemistry of the environment.
Collins says the experiment is aimed at better understanding the interplay between solar heating and wind.
Between what we think of as radiation effects and dynamic or air-moving effects in how the climate system and weather system works.
Collins says this winter's other rocket launch mission will observe the effect of X-rays from a supernova on the solar wind.
We're very excited about that because it's an astronomy approach, an astronomy mission, as we think about it. Again, not directly aurorally related, but it asks questions about the solar wind, which drives the aurora, and understanding that interaction with our local space.
The Poker Flat launch window opens on January 15th and could be extended depending on conditions. Three rocket launches are planned for the first mission and one for the second. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
Former Nanook skier Tyler Cornfield grabbed first place Sunday in the 30K Classic event, part of the U.S. Cross Country Championships, taking place at Anchorage's Kincaid Park. Cornfield has built a winning reputation as a sprinter. Following his win, he said he parlayed those sprinter skills in the final phase of the race.
I just looked around the pack and was like, you know, I can do this. Like, I'm the best sprinter in this group and I just need to be smart.
Cornfield, who now skis for Alaska Pacific University, garnered the win in 1 hour, 21 minutes and 43.6 seconds. Other interior skiers also performed well this weekend. Kendall Kramer, a West Valley High School sophomore, captured third in the junior female 5K classic race. Kramer also skis for the Nordic Ski Club of Fairbanks' FXC program, and two other FXC skiers distinguished themselves over the weekend. Ty Donaldson finished 13th, and Logan Mowry finished in 19th place in the junior male 10K classic race. Now that the Trump administration has removed a key roadblock, Alaska's public media reports the Pebble Mine proposed in southwest Alaska is moving forward. On Friday, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers released the project's permit application. That gives the public the first detailed look at what the controversial mine might look like, and it starts the federal environmental review process that will determine whether the mine is approved. Mike Heatwall is a spokesperson for the project's developer, Pebble Limited Partnership.
It's pretty exciting just to at least have some details out there that people can now start to take a look at and say, this is how the Pebble team proposes to design and operate a responsible plan for developing the mineral resources at Pebble.
According to Pebble, the mine itself will have a footprint of nearly 11 square miles. The application states that over a period of two decades, the company aims to mine 1.2 billion tons of material. So far, none of the fine print is convincing opponents to stop fighting the project. Alana Hurley is with the United Tribes of Bristol Bay.
The short time we've had to review the highlights of this permit application, it confirms every concern we have had for over the last decade.
As the environmental review process moves forward, the U.S. Army Corps says it will hold a series of public meetings. The agency says final approval could take several years. The long-standing debate over offshore drilling in Alaska has focused on the Arctic, but last week the Trump administration proposed opening almost all Alaska waters to oil and gas leasing. That's from southeast to the Bering Strait to the Canadian border. And it includes areas that have never seen drilling. Rachel Waldholtz from Alaska's Energy Desk reports on the reaction from Alaska's coastal communities.
ask Linda Benkin of Sitka how she feels about the proposal.
I probably better not say that on tape.
Benkin heads up the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association. She worries that an oil spill anywhere in the Gulf of Alaska or the Bering Sea could put fish stocks all over the state at risk.
It's really deeply disturbing to see the willingness to place at risk up and down our coasts the renewable resources that are the cornerstone of the economy and people's way of life.
That's a feeling echoed by Mark Vinsel. He runs the United Fishermen of Alaska, which represents the state's commercial fisheries. Vinsel says he's glad the Trump administration excluded the North Aleutian Basin planning area, which borders Bristol Bay. But he says fishermen haven't forgotten the 1989 Exxon Valdez oil spill. And if more waters are opened up to oil and gas development, there needs to be a lot of community oversight. He says the message is pretty simple.
You need to be careful up here, whatever you're doing. This is really, really dangerous waters. Fishermen know that, and everybody in the Arctic Rim knows that.
In Unalaska, Mayor Frank Kelty was taken by surprise when he heard the Trump administration was proposing to open waters surrounding the Aleutians and Pribilofs. Kelty says he's not opposed to oil and gas development, but Unalaska depends on fishing, and any oil and gas drilling would have to be done right.
I think there's going to be a lot of pushback from not just the enviro community, but from coastal communities such as mine and other fishery-dependent communities across the country.
Across the country, because the Trump administration is also proposing to open waters up and down the east and west coasts, from Maine to Florida and Washington to California. The proposal also came as a surprise in Nome. Austin Amasek works for Kowarik, which represents tribes across the Bering Strait region. He says local communities have made it very clear where they stand. They've opposed oil and gas development in their waters for decades.
You know, there are areas where our people have hunted and commercially fished for quite a long time. It's where we make our living, so we're quite concerned about the aggressive, nature of this draft proposal.
The Trump administration has stressed that this is just a draft. The Interior Department could remove some areas from the final plan, depending on feedback from communities. The proposal will be open for public comment for the next 2 months. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Rachel Waldholz in Anchorage.
And I'm Robert Hannon.